worship God and thank God for the nice weather. Hey, the sun is shining. Praise God. Hey, I got a parking space in the right place. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm talking about something deeper than just praising God for a good thing.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Jobe. Maybe you've listened to Straight Talk for some time now, and you've heard the teaching, and it's encouraged your heart, and it has spoken to your soul. But you have never made a clear, intentional decision to become a full-fledged follower of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a difference between being a sympathizer and being someone that's a fully committed disciple. The difference is that a sympathizer likes the words, enjoys the teaching, sympathizes with Jesus, but hasn't crossed the line to say, I'm committed more than just a sympathizer. The Bible's really clear about it. It's an act of the will and an act of faith that releases the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of Jesus into our life. There's no magic prayer, although a prayer in faith can mark the beginning of our conversion. It's us being willing to acknowledge that we cannot save ourselves, that we have sinned, that we have violated God's law, that we have made mistakes against God, and that we need those to be cleansed in our life. It's also a willingness to believe and say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you sacrificed yourself for me, and I believe that you have the power to cleanse me. The Bible tells us that when in faith we repent, we acknowledge our sin, and we embrace that Jesus will be our Savior and Lord, bow our knee and yield our will, that at that moment in time, truth mixes with faith, releases the Holy Spirit into our life, and the Bible refers to it as being born again or being a new creation or a new creature. Once you've made that decision, then you need to make sure that you plug into a community of faith. You need to find a church and plug into that church. You need to get baptized as a sign of your following Jesus Christ, and you need to begin to grow in your walk with God. That's what it means to be a disciple. So if you've never made that decision, then I urge you, I encourage you, don't let this day go by without making sure that you make that decision before God. And if you do make that decision listening to this broadcast, why don't you email me and let me know, hey, Mark, I was listening to your broadcast. This is the decision that I've made. We'd love to encourage you and send you some material to get started in your walk in God.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Tonight, we continue with Pastor Mark's series called Habits, Disciplines That Make a Difference. And this is the final message in the series. It's entitled Worship and Adoration. Let's get right into our message tonight. The text will be found in the book of Revelations, chapter 4. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk on Worship and Adoration.
Okay, I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to turn to Revelation, chapter 4. We've been talking for the last couple of weeks about disciplines that make a difference. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, there's four disciplines that are listed in Scripture. And then it says these believers were devoted to these four habits. Not just they did them casually, but they were committed, devoted, consecrated to four important habits. Not eight, not six, but four. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, which is the Word of God and meditation. They were devoted to fellowship, which is communion and confession, making sure they were in communion and getting things right with one another. They were devoted to prayer. We talked about prayer recently, prayer and fasting, and that sense of coming into the presence of God. And they were also devoted to one other discipline that we're going to talk about this morning, the breaking of bread. And you say, hey, what's the breaking of bread? Were they devoted to eating a lot? No. This wasn't about a big piece of garlic bread that they were saying, hey, let's all chow down. This is about what we call the Lord's Supper or communion. Because the way that they would celebrate communion oftentimes would be to take a big loaf And they would pass it around, and people would break a piece of bread off. And so it's called the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, communion, something that we celebrate once a month in this auditorium. But there's something interesting. It's about worship and adoration, but it's more than praising God for good things. This is about cross-centered, Christ-centered worship and adoration. I mean, you can worship God and thank God for the nice weather. Hey, the sun is shining. Praise God. Hey, I got a parking space in the right place. Thank you, Jesus. I got a promotion. Hey, I'm so happy. Got tickets to the Bulls. Hey. But I'm talking about something deeper than just praising God for a good thing. I'm talking about worship and adoration that goes beyond just, hey, something good happened to me, so I thank God. This is worship and adoration that literally goes hand in hand with what's happening in heaven. Let me tell you something. There's already a parade going on, and we just need to join it. Do you understand? Do you understand that we live in this physical realm right now, and we see and experience things through our five natural senses, but if you were to be able to break past the veil of the natural world, and you were to go past the stratosphere, and you were to go past the layers of what we call the universe, and you were to rip open the curtain to glory, to heaven, what we call heaven, and you were to peer into what's happening right now, in glory, in the spiritual realm, there is a worship service, not starting, but it's going because it happens 24 hours a day. And so, with that in mind, I want you to go to Revelation chapter 4, because I believe in this passage, it gives us really the heart of what breaking of bread is all about and what communion and worship is all about. Now, you know that Revelation was written by the Apostle John, who also wrote the Gospel of John and wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And he wrote the book of Revelation. It's called Revelation because John received the information to write this book via a vision that he had on an island called Patmos. Now, 2 years ago, I had the privilege of actually visiting this island called Patmos. It's in the Aegean Sea. Turkey's on one side, and Greece is on another side, and it's a small island right in the middle. Of course, you go there, and the tour guides say, well, this is the cave where John was. And, you know, you always got to be a little leery about the tour guides, right? Like, how do you know this was the cave? In fact, they say this was the rock where John was laying his head on when he had the vision. And how do you know that? And they said, okay, and see these three cracks in the wall here? That symbolizes the Trinity. So, besides all the hokey stuff that the tour guides tell you, it is true that John the Baptizer had this, not John the Baptizer, John the Apostle, had this vision on the island of Patmos, and he wrote down the book of Revelation. He received in a spirit what God was going to do in the future. And so we see in Revelation, some of you are scared to read it because it talks about dragons and horns and beasts and blood and terror and earthquakes and judgment to come. And you say, boy, that's a scary, nightmarish kind of book. But if you really understand what Revelation is about, you would be excited to read it because in the end, the good guys win. Amen? But here's the thing. In Revelation chapter 4, we get a glimpse into what it means really to worship. And if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to understand a couple things about cross-centered worship. The first thing that I want you to understand is if we were to peer through the heavens right now and enter into the throne room of God, you were to see something like this. It tells us in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, that John had this vision, and he peered into heaven in the spiritual realm, and he saw something astounding as he peered into the spiritual realm. He said, verse 8, and the four living creatures, each of them having six wings. and are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. Now, what is it exactly that John is seeing? It tells us earlier that he sees a throne. And there's this great white throne, and before the throne, there's like a sea of crystal in front of it. And there's these four living beings. They have six wings. And it doesn't tell us in this passage exactly what they're doing, but they're saying, holy, 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 echoing to one another. You say, well, is that a new thing? No. You see, for hundreds of years, they've been doing this. And if you want to know how long they've been doing this, you go over 2,000 years earlier, further than that. And you remember the prophet Isaiah? The prophet Isaiah, when he first started his ministry in Isaiah chapter 6, it says that he was in the temple worshiping God, and God rolled back the curtains and showed him a glimpse of what was happening before the throne. And Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah says, and I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the throne of God was there, and there were seraphim, the type of angel, and they were flying around the throne of God. And with two wings they covered their face, and with two wings they covered their feet, and with two wings they flew. And it tells us in this passage that they had what appeared to be eyes around them, and they fly around the throne of grace, the great white throne, and they call out echoing to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And they do this 24 hours a day. Why do they cover their face? Because they can't see with their eyes the unblemished, unadulterated, powerful, blazing glory of God. And they cover their feet because our feet are symbolic of that which touches the earth and that which is unclean. And so they cover their feet and they cover their face, and they fly around their throne echoing to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You see, they've been doing this for hundreds of years. Isaiah saw it, and then John saw it when he saw the throne. Now, why don't they say, love, love, love is the Lord God Almighty, God is love? Why don't they say, mercy, mercy, mercy is the Lord God Almighty, God has mercy? Well, why don't they say, just is the Lord God Almighty? Because the one characteristic of God that prevails above every other characteristic is God's holiness. You say, well, what is holiness? Holiness means that there's no blemish, spot, wrinkle in the presence of God. That God is pure in his character through and through. God is holy, set apart. There is no one like him. He's in a category all unto himself. And the glory of the Lord will fill the temple.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Worship and Adoration, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Habits, Disciplines That Make a Difference. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message as well as the entire series and give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Worship and Adoration.
And so they call out to one another day and night. And it says, and when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever. And then the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever. And they will cast down their crowns before the throne. And this is what they say. They say, worthy art thou, O Lord, and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they exist and were created. So the first thing I want you to understand about true worship, cross-centered worship, is this. When you go to worship, I want you to understand that when you engage in worship, you are engaging in something that's already going on. You're joining in with something that's already happening right now. It's already going on. It's like a parade. The parade's already going down Michigan Avenue. When you join in, it's already happening. And you're never worshiping alone, because when you start worshiping in the spirit realm, the worship is happening 24 hours, 7, constantly. 3 in the morning, there's worship that's going on in the echoes of holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. So worshiping God is going past the outer layers, entering into the presence of God and joining in with creation and people from across the world that are already worshiping God for who He is. But you see, something else happens in this passage as we look at this unfolding worship experience. In chapter 5, there's something that changes suddenly. They're worshiping God, but in chapter 5, there's a new dynamic that's introduced. In fact, it tells us that John said, "And I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne," who sits on the throne? God Almighty. You see, people say, "Well, I wonder what heaven's like." Well, let me tell you one thing about heaven. It centers on the throne of God. Now, the Bible tells us that there's no need for light because the glory of God is the light that shines. There's no need for a sun and a moon because the glory of God lights up the place. Some people say, "Well, you know what? I wonder what heaven's like. You know, I'm going to read a book," and there's all kinds of books of people died, went to heaven, walked around with Peter, Paul, and Abraham. And you're looking at those books and reading those books to try to find out what heaven's like. Let me tell you, go to the Bible. Find out from here what it's like. But it tells us, and John is having this vision, and he's watching the worship that's happening, unfolding there. And he says, "And I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne," God Almighty, God the Father, the first person of the triune God, "I saw a book that was written on the inside and on the back, and the book was sealed up with 7 seals." So God the Father, this being in splendor sitting on the throne, has a book that has 7 seals that are closing it up. It must be an important book to be in the right hand of God. And it says, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open up the book and to break its seals?'" You say, "Well, Mark, what is this book that was in the right hand of God?" Oh, well, this book represents the unfolding of the future. It represents judgment that's to come. It represents justice that's to come. It represents the triumph of the kingdom of light over the kingdom of darkness. It represents everything that's crooked made straight. It represents the final chapters of humanity. It represents the unfolding of God's will on earth. It's the book. And unless this book is open, things can't be made right. The final chapters can't be unveiled. Unless this book is open, darkness will prevail. Unless this book is open, unrighteousness will triumph. Unless this book is open, sin will be devastating. Unless this book is open, that which is crooked will not be made straight. And so John understands this in his spirit, verse 4. And he says, "I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or even to look into it." So John the apostle in this vision begins to weep. Have you ever seen someone weep uncontrollably? Heave. Sob. John the Apostle is weeping uncontrollably. Why? Because he knows if no one can open this book, we are doomed. If no one can unseal this, then history will be blighted. Then the end is abysmal. If no one can open this book, then we're all in trouble. And John weeps and sobs because no one, they look on heaven and on earth and no one is worthy. It tells us, No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open it or even to look into the book. There's no good person that was worthy. There's no Mother Teresa able to open the book. There's no Gandhi or Martin Luther that was able to do it. There's no hero in humanity. There's no child in their innocence. There's no wise man with goodness and kindness that can open the book. There's no angelic being that can open the book. There's no older person or younger. There's no woman or man able to open the book. There is no one worthy to open the book. No one that's able to approach it and take it out of the hand of God Almighty and say, I will open it. No one in all of history, not on earth, not in heaven, not under the earth. There is no one in all of existence able to open the book. They've done a thorough search and no one is to be found. And then John says, and one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the lion. The lion that is from the tribe of Judah. The root of David has overcome. So as to open the book and its seven seals. So the elder says, stop, John, don't cry. We found him. We found him. We found the one that's worthy to make things right. We found the one that's righteous. We found the one that has power to do it. We found him. He's called the Lion of Judah. He's called the Root of Jesse, of David. We found the one that can take the scroll out of the hand of God Almighty. Only one, not two, not three, not many, only one that's able to do so. And he says, and I saw, so John looks up through tear-stained eyes, stops heaving, and he looks at the throne, and he says, and I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders, I saw what? I saw a lamb. A lamb? Yeah. A little white lamb. And the lamb, he says, was standing as if it was slain. So the lamb was alive and standing, but John could see that this lamb had been slain. Stains of blood on its wool coat. A lamb that had been slaughtered, but yet lived. And he says, this lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And you see the seven churches in the book of Revelation, it relates to those seven. Seven is the number of perfection. And he says, and he came, who came? The lamb came. And he took it, he approached the throne of the living God. No one was able to even come close to this throne. No one was able to look unto the seal. No one was able to approach this throne. And this lamb, this small slain lamb, approaches the throne of God Almighty. And he takes the book out of the hand, the right hand of God Almighty. And he came and he took it out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures, the angels around, and the 24 elders, they all fall down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song. You see, something is happening, glory, that's never happened before. Something that up until this time has never occurred in all of history and humanity. Something revolutionary. Something pivotal in the story of redemption. The Lamb. And the Bible tells us that they all fall and suddenly they sing a new song. A song that they have never sung before. A song that they have never uttered before. This is a new song. This is a brand new song with new lyrics. And listen to what they say. They say, worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals. For thou wast slain and did purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God. And they will reign upon the earth. They sing a new song, and in this song they sing, hey, you are worthy. Why are you worthy? Because you were slain.
Join us again tomorrow night as we finish our message called Worship and Adoration. It'll also be the last message in our series called Habits, Disciplines That Make a Difference. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book called Unstuck is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thanks so much for listening with us tonight. Have a great night, and please do join us again for the second half of Pastor Mark's message called Worship and Adoration. Have a great night. God bless.